Well, when we think of the year 2022 and what lies ahead, of course, it's quite unknown to us, but of course not unknown to the Lord, and he will fulfill his plans. And I can't think of a better book to start with than the book of Exodus. As the people of Israel were moving out from Egypt through the wilderness and the promise to get into the, what they called it, the promised land, the land of Israel. So let's open up to Exodus, two chapters, Exodus chapter 14, just one verse, and then a verse in chapter 15 of Exodus. So Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15, please. Exodus 14 and verse 15. Second part of the verse is appropriate. Exodus 14, the second part of verse 15. The Lord speaking to Moses. Tell the children of Israel to go forward. And the Lord says that to us as well. It is redeemed. Tell my children to go forward. Now go over into the next chapter, please. Chapter 15. And look at verse 13. Exodus 15 and verse 13. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. And that's where we're going. Redeemed people, the Lord will guide as he has in strength and taking us eventually to his presence. Very important. Now, would you move on, while we're in Exodus, to another chapter, chapter 33. Chapter 33. And just one verse in chapter 33 of Exodus. Chapter 33, and look at the first part of verse 14. Exodus 33, and the first part of verse 14. And he said, the Lord saying, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. That doesn't mean a bodily lie down relaxation. It means that you needn't be perturbed about what lies ahead or be worried, be anxious at all, but rest in your mind and in your spirit, that all will be well and the Lord will guide us safely through. There may be incidents where we might be a bit concerned or even anxious of events that lie ahead, but he will see us through them. Sometimes he takes us round them. But that verse is quite important there. So bearing that in mind, Exodus 15 and verse 13, you can also say that. Verse 13, now therefore I pray, Moses, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation, as Israel, is your people. Well, we found grace in the sight of the Lord, in Christ, of course. And as Moses said, that I may know you, I may know your way forwards in that respect. So that's important as well. As in chapter 33 and verse 14, we've got my presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. Rest of heart and mind, not to be anxious or uptight or worried about things. The Lord is in control. He is sovereign in every aspect of that as well. And would you go forward now into a psalm? Psalm 58. Psalm 58. Sorry, Psalm 78. Did I say 58? Psalm 78. Psalm 78. And just one verse and part of a second. Verse 52. Psalm 78 and verse 52. Psalm 78, 52. But he made his own people go forward, go forth like sheep, and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. Second, verse 53, and he led them on safely so that they did not fear. Well, that's encouragement, I find, in our day. We don't know what lies ahead into the year 2022, but the Lord will guide us because he is our shepherd and we are his sheep, and he will guide and lead us in green pastures. That means everything goes easy. We may be concerned about things that happen, but he made his own people go forward, go forth like sheep, with a shepherd guiding and leading us, and guided them in the wilderness. Now, we live in the wilderness of the world, as I'm sure you agree on that one. And he led them on safely so they did not fear. I think that's encouragement. It doesn't mean to say we don't have concerns. We do. But we can rest in God's peace that he is our Father, the Lord is our Savior and Shepherd, and he will lead his people on. And he will lead us by green pasture. Now that leads me to one verse in Psalm 23. You needn't turn to it. I'm sure you know it well. In Psalm 23 and verse 6. If you want to turn to it, you can, but I'll read it. Psalm 23 and verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll read it again. Surely goodness, the Lord's goodness, and mercy, the Lord's mercy, shall follow me all the days of my life. The Lord leads from the front, and he follows on from behind, guiding us as well. For behind us, you never know, like the wolves follow the sheep, may find the enemy tries to track us down as well. So he's behind us and in front of us at the same time. Now, many of us have been Christians for many years, no doubt. And it's very easy to rest on past security and what the Lord has guided us through this present year. It's easy to rest upon that, but no, we shouldn't. Our trust should be in him for the coming year, whatever that may bring. The Lord may come for us, we don't know. The Lord certainly brings changes into our lives. You know that as well as I do. He brings changes into our lives. So he says, keep trusting me in those changes, should they come. Keep trusting. And if he leads us into new pastures or new experiences or new ways or new friends, whatever it may be, he will always provide for us spiritually. And Jesus said, my Father will always supply all your physical needs as well as we walk with him in harmony and fellowship, of course. So he's a shepherd of his sheep. Now the Lord is always the same, always constant, unchanging. I am the Lord, I change not. And the Lord never wavers in his loving purposes for our lives when we follow him obediently. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Psalm 23, you know it well. He leads us ever in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His reputation is there, his namesake for him, as we trust him. So, like Psalm 23, he sets a table of his provision, and we shall eventually dwell in his presence. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23, you know it. He will provide for us spiritually, and the Father promises to provide for us physically as well as we trust and walk with him through the coming year. We don't know what happens in it. We don't know how it comes, what happens to us, but we trust in the Lord. We shall eventually dwell in his presence forever. Now, when you think about that, how bountiful and how great is the Lord towards you and me? How bountiful, full of provision. And how great he is towards his own redeemed people. And in that sense, as we read in Exodus, in that 14th chapter, verse 15 and chapter 15, 13, tell my people to go forward. So we go forward trusting. And there was a lady called Mrs. Haskins, wrote this a long time ago. When you put your hand into the hand of God, it is better than any known way. I'll read it again. Mrs. Haskins wrote this. Putting your hand into the hand of God is better than any known way. Anything you know about putting your hand out to the Lord when you don't know what lies ahead. But he does, and he holds our hand. Spiritually, and if you like, physically, it's true as well. And the Lord said, my presence shall go with you. Exodus 33. Now, back in past history, the Lord led Israel by the pillar of cloud and by the pillar of fire. He led them through the wilderness. And the star led the Magi to Bethlehem and to Jesus. He guided them there. And he guides us with his watchful eye upon us. We can believe that. He's the Lord of our past experience since we were saved and through this year. And he's the Lord of our future too. He has plans for you and for me here in this life, and the plans eventually to be with him forever. Because he's the Lord of our future. And we enter into an unknown year ahead of us. He knows the way ahead. We don't know. He knows the way because he is the way. And is the pioneer of our faith. Hebrews. Pioneer of our faith. That's what Hebrews 12 says. He's the finisher or the pioneer of our faith. Look to Jesus, the author and pioneer, one who led from the front, like any pioneer of our faith. So, run the race that is set before us with endurance, stickability, standing firm, going forwards. He's with us. He holds us in his hand. Fear not. There's a fear not for every day of the year in the Bible. That's good, isn't it? So he is a finisher as well as a beginner of our faith. And he's a pioneer that leads us on into his presence. That's what a pioneer does. Now, you needn't turn to this, but, well, yes, we can do that. Why don't we turn on into the New Testament now to John's first letter. John's first letter, please. And what we want is chapter 2. John's first letter and chapter 2. Let's look at the first two verses. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. My little children, writes the old John. He's an old man by now, about 90. These things I write to you so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate. Think of that word, advocate. With the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation or covering for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. That word, advocate. Advocate. Well, it's a legal term, isn't it? An advocate is one who has great legal responsibility. And Jesus Christ is the greatest advocate you and I could ever have. Here's Nigel joining us. He's the greatest advocate in 1 John chapter 2, 1 and 2. He's our advocate. And in verse 2 of 1 John 2, he himself is our propitiation, our covering for sin. And that word advocacy, the greatest idea of legal representative. He's our advocate. He pleads for us, of course, always before the Father. He's our advocate. Now, there's another thought here, because in that second verse of 1 John 2, he himself is a propitiation or the covering, or if you like the word, substitute. He substituted himself under the judgment of the Father, taking our place because we deserved it. But he took our place, substituted himself. Our advocacy not only pleads for us, legally speaking, shall we say, but it also the one who is a substitute sacrifice for us as well. And the word there, advocacy and substitute, those verses, I'll give you a word we don't normally use, surety, S-U-R-E-T-Y, surety. What does that mean? He's a surety of our faith. He's a surety of our salvation. In other words, he's the one who guarantees us eternal life, forgiveness of sin, salvation, assurance, eternal security, holiness. He guarantees it. He is the one, as our advocate, to plead for us as well. He's a surety of our faith, a surety of our salvation, or if you like, our sureness. The word is surety, a word we don't often use. But it also has the meaning of exchange. He exchanged himself under the judgment of the Father instead of you and me. There's a surety for that as well. A surety bearing our sin in his own body on the tree. A surety of our salvation when we believe in him and what he did for us. And the resurrection, of course. And the surety means exchange. He exchanged himself under the judgment of the Father instead of you and me. He took our place. Exchanged us. He took our place there. Wonderful, isn't it? So you've got the word advocacy. You've got the word substitute. You've got the word surety. Assure him. And also you've got the thought of exchange. He exchanged his life and gave it to us for eternal life. He took our sin. He gave us his righteousness. How wonderful. As the security of the Christian, he took our sin. He gave us his righteousness as we believe and receive him. So that thought of advocacy or surety or sureness and his exchange, it's like a pledge. He's our surety. He made a pledge. I do this for my redeemed children. They put their faith in me. I will therefore save them for sure. That word is surety. Now, you might say, well, that's a word we don't often use today. That's quite true. We don't. But the word surety, believe it, is found 7 times in the Old Testament. 2 of them are in Genesis. I'll give you the references as you're recording. In Genesis 43 in verse 9 and chapter 44 verse 32. Do you want to go back to them? All right, we can do that then. Go back then to Genesis chapter 43. Chapter 43 and in verse 9. I usually use the New King James Bible. Chapter 43 of Genesis and verse 9. Wait for you to find it, and I'll read it. This is Judah talking to Jacob, Israel, his father in verse 8. And he wants to take the youngest one down to Joseph. And in return, this is what Judah said to Jacob, or Israel, his father, verse 8. Send the boy with me. And verse 9, I myself will be the surety for him. I'll look after him. I'll guarantee his safety. I'll be responsible for him. I will be his surety. Legal term, I know. But that's where it is. Go over to chapter 44. Next chapter. 44 and verse 32. Chapter 44 and verse 32. As is Judah interceding for Benjamin, again, the younger brother, youngest brother. For your servant became surety for the boy to my father, that's Jacob, Israel. If I do not bring him back to you, then I shall bear the blame before my father forever. He felt responsible for him. If he doesn't come back with me, if he's in danger, loses that, blame me, he says. He's a surety for young Benjamin. That's what he says. For your servant became surety for the boy. And of course, he brought him back safely. And Job. We go to Job. We don't often turn to Job, do we? Would you go to Job, please? 17. Well worth looking up. Job 17 and verse 3. This is Job, and he's talking to the Lord. Job 17 and verse 3. Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he that will shake hands with me? Who's going to identify with me? That's what that means. Put down a pledge for me with yourself. Job asked for relief from all his suffering. Put down a pledge. Put down a promise. Do something and you keep your word for me. Put a pledge down. We can pledge things to people by promise if you can keep the word. We should only give a pledge where we can fulfill the pledge, of course, and the promise. It's a word we don't normally use, I know. Like the word surety, we don't often use that either. So Job says, put me in surety. That's in the AV. Well, if you're using the AV, you can see it there. That's what it says. Put me in a surety in the AV, or a pledge, I'm reading New King James. A pledge for me. Put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who's going to shake hands with me? Or if you like, or put me in a surety with you. Who's going to guard me? Who's going to protect me? Who's going to stand in my place if needed? Who's going to be a surety for me? Who's going to strike hands? Who's going to shake hands with me? Who's going to identify with me by handshake, saying, I'm with you. I stand with you. A handshake, like a real familiar greeting. But you see, no one really stood with Job. His three friends weren't really friends, were they? I'm looking up Psalm 119. It's a long psalm, 119, verse 122. Do you want to turn to it? Straight after Job. Psalm 119, long one. And we want a long verse into that psalm as well. 122. Psalm 119, and the verse is 122. So writes the servant, the writer. Psalm 119, verse 122, 122. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the prayer oppress me. In other words, guarantee your safety. Guarantee my your provision. Guarantee your watching over me. Be my surety. Watch over me. Stand firm for me. Support me. Be my surety. Unusual word, isn't it? For your servant for good. That's what the psalmist said concerning the Lord as well. So that's important, that is. So we have here the surety or a promise, or like a guarantee. And this is mentioned four times, in fact, in Proverbs. In chapter 6, I'll read Proverbs chapter 6. You needn't turn to it, I'll read it. My son, if you become surety for your friend, you're going to become a guarantee to look after your friend, to provide for your friend, to watch over your friend, a surety. My son, if you become a surety for your friend, you've shaken hands in pledge for a stranger. You are taken by the words of your mouth, in verse 2. I'll read that again. It's very important. Psalm 119, 1, 2, 2. My son, if you become surety for your friend, a guarantee support, keep safe, provide. You become surety for your friend. If you've shaken hands in pledge, that's what you do with shaking hands. You stand with greeting. That's so important. Even for a stranger, you are taken by the words of your mouth. You made a pledge, you made a promise, you made surety, you keep your word. How true that is for us as believers. If we make a promise, you must keep your word. Otherwise, don't make it. If you can't fulfill a promise in your own strength, don't make a promise. Make sure when you make a promise, you keep it. You make a pledge. You shake hands on it. That's what it means. That's mentioned there in Proverbs, as I say, chapter 6, 1 and 2. It's also in verse 15 and chapter 20, verse 16. So the surety is a person, unusual word, I know. A surety is the person who takes responsibility for someone else. Maybe for someone who's like in a debt, and you come along and you're surety and you pay the debt for them. How generous. That's possible. And see, Jesus did that. We have a great debt of sin towards Almighty God, the Father, and Jesus, the Son of God. We can't pay that price for our sin, but he did. He's our surety. He's our guarantee. He's the one who made a promise to us and fulfilled the promise as he died for us. Very important that Jesus fulfilled and paid the debt that we could not pay. That's certainly true. We owed him a lot. We couldn't pay it. He paid the debt in full and we go free. Hallelujah. So he's a surety for us. Taking our place, providing a guarantee, keeping his word of promise, and he did. And we know that in Hebrews 7, verse 22, let's turn to it, Hebrews 7, 22. Hebrews 7, verse 22. Talking about the Lord Jesus, our great high priest. Chapter 7 of Hebrews, verse 22. By so much more than the promise of Melchizedek. Earlier verse. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. Of course, the new covenant in his blood. He's become the surety, the guarantee, the pledge, the promise. And he pledged and kept his promise and died for us and rose again. For us as well. Wonderful, isn't it? Jesus became a surety of a better covenant. So Christ crucified for us and rose again, of course, you know, he is the very foundation. He's the pledge. He's a surety of forgiveness, a right relationship with himself, having peace through the blood of the cross to a believing sinner, Jew or Gentile. That's us. So Jesus was wonderfully glorified from his resurrection, ascension, back to the Father's throne. He's the eternal Son of God, as we know. And he manifests security or surety for every believer trusting him for salvation. Wonderful, isn't it? That's the glory. He made security and surety for our salvation. You see, our rightful place now is in heaven. That's our rightful place. That's our destiny. That's our future. It's guaranteed. It's a pledge. It's a surety. We're on our way now. Who knows whether we'll be there in the coming year? We don't know. So that's encouraging, isn't it? Very much so. Just to go on with a bit more time. See, at the same time, Christ is what the Bible calls a living stone. He's the foundation. He's the rock of ages. And under his shadow, we have rest, security and salvation. There's no worries about our salvation, whether accepted or not. We are. He's our surety. He's our pledge. He's our advocate. He's our substitute. All those truths are all there. He's alive forevermore. Christ is a living stone. He's the rock of ages, and under whose shadow we may find rest, as the scriptures say. There's a quiet rest for the believer. Sins forgiven. New life in Christ. Eternal life, eternal security. Our place in heaven is guaranteed. Your name is on the door of your mansion. Did you know that? Sure it is. Wonderful. So there's a quiet rest. As the hymn says, for the believer. Sin question answered. We experience salvation by believing his gospel. Confusion with a sense of shame and sin and guilt is all gone. And the Lord has turned on the light. And we see him. salvation, security, surety, heaven's glory to come. What a future glory the believer really has. If you feel a bit downcast, a bit discouraged, think of the glory that's ahead of you when you feel a bit down, and a future deeper, deeper knowledge of him. We call that life, life forevermore, life for everlasting. The Lord has turned on the light because he is the light of the world, and he switched on the light for us, and we know in the truth. Glorious. So there's a future glory. Will it be this year? We don't know. I can say to you now, what a glory he sheds on our way. And the way ahead, I end with where I started, Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, us, all the days of my our life. Wonderful, isn't it? That's our security in him, our advocate, our substitute, our surety, our pledge, and he keeps his word of promise, and so he will. Will it be this coming year? We don't know, but he holds our hand. As Mrs. Haskins said, putting your hands into the hand of God is better than any known way. I can say amen to that.